Amen. So we're continuing with our study in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And I have to say, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Because when I'm depressed, when I'm down, when I'm going through a rough time, I cannot read Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31, and not be encouraged. And so I would advise you the same. If you're going through a rough time, if you're going through a hard time, you know, hey, I'm not feeling the love. Well, guess what? God does love you. And I would encourage you to read this passage. And I love how it starts off. What can we say then about all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And of course, it's that rhetorical, no one! Right? Yeah, no one can be against us. So let's try this again. What then can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us?
No one.
Thank you. Yeah, no one. No one. So, a couple of points here. Who can stand up to God when He is for you, has your back, and has made you bloom? No one. There's nothing bigger than God, right? Yeah. And, you know, and we have proof of this. We know how far God is willing to go for us because what Yeshua did for us, right? Yeah. I think of that passage of Scripture. It's rare for someone to die for a righteous person or a just person, but God demonstrated His own love for us, right? That's why Yeshua was here. Yeah. And so that's how far He's willing to go for you. That's how far He was willing to go for me. Jesus died. Amen? And He gave us hope by raising, you know, coming forth from the dead. Because guess what? A lot of people died. In fact, there's two guarantees in this world, right? Death and taxes. Yeah, so, with that, you know what? We have a hope. Not when it comes to taxes, because we're supposed to render to Caesar what is Caesar. But we have a hope in the resurrection. And that's how much God loves us. So good to remember that. And of course it continues. Who can bring an accusation against God's chosen people? It is God who justifies them. And I think of who the accuser is. I immediately thought of that verse. Well, Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse 10, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, the power, the kingdom of God, and the authority of His Messiah, His anointed one, has come. For the one accusing our brothers, the one who accuses them day and night in the presence of our God, has been thrown out." Isn't that one of the things that the adversary really would like to stir up amongst brothers and sisters? And that's part of cleansing stream, when we pick up that offense, because we want to stand with the accuser, and it's not right, because we need to throw him out and say, hey, you know what? You're done. And Satan is in God's presence all the time harassing him. Hey, did you see what that woodcock guy did this time? Boy, what was he thinking? You know, blah, 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 blah. He made all these mistakes. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? Yeah, I did. But there's no condemnation because I'm in the Messiah. God has justified me, and God has justified every one of His children. Your name's inscribed in the book of life. I know everyone in this room, your names are inscribed. Guess what? You have been justified. And the accuser, when you stand before God, he is going to be thrown out. So let's not worry about the garbage. Let's not do it. Yeah. And you know what? No one can bring judgment upon mankind except for God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17 says, "I said to myself, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man, for a time for every matter and for every deed is there." God's going to judge, right? Now, we do have a responsibility that we are to make judgments inside the body of the Messiah. If somebody comes in and says, yeah, I'm a believer, but they're not, you know, doing what God says to do, what does the Scripture say? Get away from that guy. Get that guy out of there. He's ruining the testimony. He's ruining the moving of the Spirit. But you know what? It's just like, but if our judgments are such, it's kind of interesting. I was showing some people the Marriage Live video. And the first, their first thing was they couldn't relate to the person or the way they were dressed. It's like, oh, I don't like the way that person's dressed. What? What about what they say, And I like what Martin Luther King Jr. said, don't judge a man by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. That's the same way that we should be looking at our brothers and sisters. Don't look on the outside, because God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And that's where our judgment should lie. And let's get rid of that petty bickering, that petty things, making judgments against God. That's where all that grumbling comes from that Pastor Dave talked about earlier. I'm going to make a judgment. I don't like what God is doing. I've gotten stuck in that trap. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, I've never done that before. No, I have done it. And I've given God a belly full, and He's had to knock it off. But that's because I listen to the accuser of the brethren. Because if he's going to accuse my brothers and sisters, isn't he going to accuse God as well? And where does he start? Hey, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. If God did, you wouldn't be going through what you're doing. Isn't that an accusation? Isn't that the adversary trying to get us to make a judgment against God? Yeah. And if we make accusations against God, isn't it, therefore it's easy to make accusations against God's creation? So people who are making a lot of accusations about other people, you better be sure that they're probably making accusations against the Creator as well as the creation as well. So what do we do in that situation? Do we take them out and beat them with our rod? No. We pray for them. Now, if they're within the body, we got to come alongside them, right? The Scripture says if someone's caught in a trespass, come alongside them. And you who are spiritual, hey, I notice you're going through a hard time. Is everything okay? Because I know it's really easy. I know in my personal experience that I've gotten caught in the trap of railing accusations against God. And in my testimony, it didn't work out very well. So may that be an encouragement to you. Don't go down that road. save yourself some trouble. And how do we do that? With love, with gentleness, with respect. But if they want to keep going, adios. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, right? Yeah. And so with that, let's not worry about the accuser of the brother. Because no one can condemn our brothers and sisters because God has justified us. And in fact, it says, Messiah Yeshua, who died and more mortally has been rose and is seated at the right hand of God, is the one who is also interceding for us. So Yeshua, who is God, who knows everything, past, present, and future, who is created outside of time, they say He's the firstborn of all creation. That's a title. That's not meaning that He was born. That's the title saying there is nothing else created. He was there. He was there. He always has been there. He always will be there. And with that, it's interesting. The one who created everything, if you are in Him, you can never be condemned. Isn't that nice to know? Yeah, we're justified. And I find it even, he goes even beyond that. That Yeshua, God Himself, intercedes on behalf of all who believe in Him. The accuser of the brethren comes up and says, hey, did you see this? And Jesus is like, oh, shut up, he's one of mine, I've justified him. Shut up, she's one of mine. Be done. Yeshua is interceding for us. That incense that's coming up, that prayer, think about it. In the garden, didn't He pray for us? I just imagine that He, knew. Because He's God, He didn't get rid of His knowledge of everything. He prayed for us all in the garden. He's always interceding for us. So know that. So the Scripture continues. Who can separate us from Messiah's love? Can trouble? No. Can distress? No. Can persecution? No. Can hunger? No. Can nakedness? When we got the right clothes? No. Danger? No. A sword? A gun? An atomic bomb? No. None of these things. And the Apostle Paul continues and says, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. It's written in the Scripture. Hey, it happens. We're being killed all day long. We are thought, we are thought of as sheep to be slaughtered. Wasn't Jesus, Yeshua, the lamb that was led to the slaughter, and he didn't open his mouth? So, regardless of what man can do, regardless of these things, no, in all of these things we are what? We are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. I am more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Why don't we say that right now? I am more than a conqueror. Say it again. I am more than a conqueror. Yeah. Speak that word. In fact, let's do it again. I am more than a conqueror. We are all more than conquerors. So, even though we are being persecuted for our faith, and remember, Yeshua was tortured as well, these things won't become between God and His love for you. And like we talked about briefly before, how much does Yeshua, how much does God love you? And I've seen preachers do this, you know, God loves you this much. Yeah. In Romans 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrated His love for us. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Messiah Yeshua, He died for us. So, even while we were living in sin, even though while we were enemies of God with our lifestyles and how we act and what we did and our choices that we made, God demonstrated His love for us. So, this lie from the adversary that says, God doesn't love you is nothing but a lie because He demonstrated His love. Even while you were completely contrary to everything that God is about, He demonstrated His love. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. And I love how the Apostle Paul wraps this up. He says, for I'm convinced, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor anything above, nor anything below, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Nothing. So, can this life, can anything in this life separate you from the love of God? No. How about death? And I've got in my notes here a change in dimension, right? Because we go through a dimensional change when we die. Can that separate you from the love of God? No. Can angels separate you from the love of God? No. And of course, we know about the different classification of angels. There are good angels and there are bad angels. Can those messengers separate you from God's love? No. And the good angels are going to tell you about God's love and the thing that God has for you. And the bad angels are going to accuse you and are going to accuse him and accuse everything else and try to convince you to go down the path that leads to death and destruction. Can those angels separate you from the love of God? No, they cannot. Kings, queens, dictators, lords, presidents, politicians, can they separate you from God's love? No. How about anything that currently exists? Think about it. Is there anything that currently exists that can separate you from the love of God? No. How about anything in the past? Can anything in the past separate you from the love of God? No. And I'd like to insert here, anything you've done in the past. Can anything you've done in the past separate you from the love of God? No! Can anything in the future, or anything you're going to do in the future, or anything that someone else is going to do in the future, can that separate you from the love of God? No. No, it can't! Yeah. Anything with power. And you know, it's interesting is that the Greek word that was used here alludes to, this is talking about godly type power. Can any other God, any other deity, anything with power separate you from the love of God? No. No, it can't. How about anything above? Yeah. There's nothing in outer space. Don't worry, there's no space alien that can come down and separate you from the love of God. Ain't gonna happen. How about anything below? Anything under the earth or the molten core, maybe anything in the ocean? Can the Loch Ness Monster separate you from the love of God? No. Yeah. Can a volcano separate you from the love of God? No. Nothing below can do it. How about anything from Sheol? Anything from the pits of hell? Can those things separate you from the love of God? No. None of these things can separate you from the love of God. So it's interesting. With all these things, nothing can separate you from God's love. But God's love is a gift, right? And what is it about a present? You know, I remember celebrating this week my daughter's birthday. And so we went to, had a few gifties in mind for her. And of course, all the different grandparents and various other people had some things for her. And so they had these gifts for Jerona. And what did she do when they handed out the gift? Did she say, uh-uh? No, she said, yeah, and she took it. We have to take the love of God because He's given it to us. And there's nothing that can stop us. There is nothing that can stop us. So what's our lesson from this passage? I actually have several lessons here. And first of all, I want to start off with the translation thing regarding conquering. The Greek that is used here for conquering is rarely used in this context. And it means to be proved right. To be proved right. So Paul says that as a believer, you are more than just proved right before God. You are more than justified before God. Your role in this thing is more than just salvation. Your role is to be the rod that is not just brought back to life, but the rod that is productive for the kingdom of God, right? Yeah. And remember, you are more than just somebody who's getting into heaven as far as God's concerned. You're more than that. So let's not forget that. This word separation, nothing can come between you and God's love for you. So if any time you're just in a rough situation and the adversary starts to lie to you and says, hey, God doesn't love you, you know what? That spirit is not God, from God. And you can tell him where to go, right? That is a lie. Because God loves you. 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 Yeah, God loves each and every one of us. And the lie that God doesn't love you, where does that come from? Things alive, other people, right? They try to convince us that God doesn't love us or say things to try to prove that God doesn't love us because of their own whatever agenda. God doesn't love you comes from things of death, right? Sin, selfishness. We don't see the love of God in people that are sinful or selfish, do we? Yeah. This lie that God doesn't love us, it also comes from angels. Those are the spirits. And who's the father of lies, right? Satan is the father of lies. We know that from Scripture. And Satan's desire is to convince you that God doesn't love you, and this is a trap to keep you pinned down in life. In fact, a lot of believers even go so far as to accept this, hey, God doesn't love me, God doesn't love me, God doesn't love me. Then they say, well, I guess this life is an exercise in futility, and then thoughts of suicide start to creep in. You know, you know what? And I know this from personal experience because even after I got my life right with the Lord, I still had those thoughts of, hey, your life is futile, you know, God doesn't love you. I'm like, oh, then why am I here? Obviously, I'm here for some reason, right? Because of the many different ways I tried to kill myself, you know. Sometimes, you know, active suicide, sometimes passive suicide. But yet, God loved me. God still does love me. And I'm not going to believe those lies anymore. You know, this lie that God doesn't love you, it's a trap. And there's no governmental edict. They cannot pass a law that separates you from God's love. Nothing else out there. There is nothing else out there. There's no other God out there. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And we know that God loves us, right? And He has a wonderful plan for us. That's why we're more than conquerors. And we see, you know, I remember, you know, we did something called a Ben Franklin chart in management, where you do a little T-chart and you figure out the positives and the negatives of doing something. You kind of chart it out and you make your decision. But we see something very similar, a T-chart, in John 10:10. We have on one side of the chart the thief. What does the thief want to do? He wants to steal. He wants to slaughter. He wants to destroy. And what do we see on the other side? We see Yeshua. And the reason why He came is that we may have life, but listen to this, and have it more abundantly. God loves you and wants you to have an abundant life. Now, it doesn't mean that, oh, once I'm a believer, it's all a bed of roses without the thorns. Once I'm a believer, I've got the ruby slippers and I say there's no place like home and I follow the yellow brick road. Yeah, exactly. Because all this stuff in life is going to come at us. But we say, hey, you know what? That stuff ain't going to separate me from God's love. And when we put this life into perspective, what does James say? Our life is just a vapor. It's very short compared to all eternity. And when we get there, and we're with glory, we're going to be like, oh, wow. I was in it, and it just seemed like forever, but it's nothing. It's just a vapor, and it's gone. It's just a breath in all eternity, and it's gone. Because we are more than conquerors. Let's not focus on the death, but let's focus on the life and on the love that God has for each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. So let's go ahead and just bow our heads and close our eyes.